So then today, it's better maybe on the kneeler there. Yeah. So today is the feast of Saint Camillus the Littlest, one of the great saints. Of course, all the saints are noted for their, every saint is a saint because of charity. But Saint Camillus the Littlest is a saint especially noted for being driven in the greatest possible way by the greatest depth of charity. He's devoted his life to taking care of the sickest of the sick and the poorest of the poor. And so he is a special apostle of charity. I'm going to be here again in San Diego, on the other side of San Diego, so the other side this morning, this side this afternoon. And the epistle for this feast of St. Camillus the Littlest is taken from the first epistle of St. John, chapter 3. Dearly beloved, wonder not if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in himself. In this we have known the charity of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He that hath the substance of this world, and shall see his brother in need, and shut up his bowels from him, how doth the charity of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Then the gospel. Take that according to St. John, chapter 15. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love than this no man hath, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do the things that I command you. I will not now call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doth. But I have called you friends, because all things whatsoever I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and have appointed you that you should go and should bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Thus for the words of today's Holy Gospel. So, in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. A few considerations on the commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ and what makes us Catholics essentially different from those that are outside the faith. Of course, we have a different doctrine. They follow lies and the father of lies, and there are millions of lies since there are many false religions and many, many, many types of heresies. But we follow truth. And when our Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the truth," he waited until Good Friday morning to say those words. He said, actually, Holy Thursday night. Holy Thursday night, just before he went to his death, and he repeated again on Good Friday. And what he said is, "I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that also on Good Friday, our Lord said to Pilate, "Art thou a king then? Art thou a king?" "Yes, I am a king." But what is special about the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? "I am a king. Thou sayest it. For this was I born. For this came I into the world, that I might bear witness unto the truth." And he is bearing witness unto the truth right now in front of Pilate. And he is bearing witness unto the truth when he hangs upon the cross. That's his way of bearing witness. "He who is of the truth hears my voice." Now there are many, many souls in the world who claim to be of the truth, but how many hear his voice? And he also speaks to his apostles, and he tells them, "Iam non dicam vos servos et amicos. I now no longer call you slaves, but friends." He says this during the Last Supper. Right when he gives them the new commandment, "I give you a new commandment. Mandatum novum do vobis. I give you a new commandment." The new commandment is, so our Lord Jesus Christ speaks to his apostles, and he says, "I said to the disciples, this is my commandment, the mandatum novum, my new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love than this no man hath, and he lays down his life for his friends, and you are my friends." For the first time in history, he calls a man his friend. He's going to lay down his life for his friends. And that the I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And it is a commandment. Remember also it says elsewhere in the sacred scripture, no man can serve two masters, says the Lord Jesus Christ. For either he will love the one and hate the other, or serve the one and despise the other. Only one is loved. So we're either going to love God and hate the devil, love God and hate sin, or we're going to serve the devil and despise God. He does not say, choose what you want to love. Love God or love the devil. No man loves the devil. No man loves the wicked one. We either love God or we love ourselves. But we can't love another. We love God or we serve the devil. And we're in a world now where the love of God has gone out. And on this feast of St. Camillus de Lillis, we are reminded, among this one of the many saints are reminded of the fact that our faith must be embedded in charity. And remember the St. John says, Deus caritas est. God is charity. That's what makes him different from the others. All the false gods, they have no, they are devils, and the devils have no charity in them. But the true God is charity. Deus caritas est. So if we really have God inside of us, that means there's going to have to be a pouring out. Now, what is the difference between love and obedience? A man obeys command because he has to obey. And this is the way it is in the kingdom of Satan. In the kingdom of Satan, all they have is obedience. I once met a Satanist 20 years ago, and he told me, he said, you don't understand the difference between your religion and ours. We only have obedience as Satanists. That's all we have. And then he gave me an example. He says, supposing that you're the most dangerous man in the world, and you must, and that you are a threat to Satanism and a threat to the devil, and I came upon you, and there you are, without any weapons, and I've got a weapon. And I've got a grenade, and I've got all manner to kill you and get away with it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So why not? Because we in Satanism only have rules. And we only have obedience. If I see an enemy and I kill him because he's an enemy, and I report that back to my superiors, they will kill me. Even though I killed an enemy. Why? Because I didn't get the order. Think about it. We don't love our fellow Satanists. We don't love each other. We hate each other. The Satanists hate each other just as much as they hate the good people. They hate everyone and everything. And they don't have any moral code. So how is there order in Satanic Kingdom? The only way there is order in the Satanic Kingdom is obedience, obedience, obedience. We see this right now. Why do you put on your stinking mask? Because of obedience. Why do you do all the things they tell you to do? Because of obedience. I'm walking to the airport. And I'm walking to the airport today, and all the announcements, the CDC recommends that you keep social distancing, 6 feet apart. And also that make sure you wear a mask when you're on the airplane. And if you see something, then say something. And you are all responsible for your own security, the security of everyone else. And that everybody has to watch over everyone else's security. And look out for it and make sure that you obey all the rules and regulations that we have for you. So that they got all the little plastic things on the floor of where you can stand. And you're not supposed to stand outside of those plastic little things. I've even checked my measuring tape. I carry measuring tape on me all the time. I've been scandalized in several gas stations. I went to the gas station, I pulled a measuring tape, and I measured it. Sure enough, it's not 6 feet. It was 54 inches. It was even 62 inches. It was nowhere near 72 inches. And this is a scandal. It says stay 6 feet apart, and there's one there, and there's one here. They're not 6 feet apart. So I pulled out a measuring tape in gas stations. I pulled it out in the airport a couple times, too. Like, oh, this is a scandal. Oh, my, this is not 72 inches. This is terrible. It says stay 6 feet apart. They have all these stupid rules. But what is it? This is the demonic world. The demonic world is a world that is ruled by obedience. And you don't do anything except what you are told to do. And if you are not told to do it, you do nothing. And the Satanist told me that over 20 years ago. He says, now what about you Christians, you Catholics? You don't need obedience except minimally. Suppose that I put $100 on the table. Is there going to be a law that says, don't steal the $100 on the table? No, because you know there's a commandment that says, thou shalt not steal. So I don't need to make a rule that says, don't take my $100 sitting on the table. You won't do it. Because you have a moral code that governs your life. But the followers of Satan have no moral code. Hence, they need rules and rules and rules and rules. And if there are not rules, they don't know what to do, and they can do nothing. That's Satanism. We are in a satanic America right now. There are rules about how you drive on a highway, rules about how you walk, rules about sidewalks, rules about masks, rules about walking into a... You can't see through a... It used to be, there was a time when you used to go into a store, they had these things called glass doors. You may remember that time. And on the glass doors, you could see through it. Now, all you see is papers taped to the glass door, thousands of papers about this rule and that rule, the other rule, thousands of rules about... What if you stopped there in order to read all those rules? You're going to die. You can't read all those stupid rules they have on the outside. It's no longer transparent. It's just rules, rules, rules. And the rules are changing every day. That's the satanic world. What about the Catholic world? What does it say here? What is it that rules our world? Charity. Charity is something that's inside the heart. It is not something which is on the outside. So that Saint John talks about it in the epistle. He makes it really very clear. In the epistle of Saint John, chapter the first epistle of Saint John. Dearly beloved, wonder not if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Remember this about the world and don't ever forget it. The world hates those who love. And the world will always hate those who love. Why was Jesus Christ a great scandal? Two reasons. One, he loved. Two, he was loved. Caiaphas put Jesus Christ to death because Christ was loved, and Caiaphas was jealous of that love. He wanted that love, and he was angry about that love. Lucifer hates Jesus Christ. Lucifer hates the Blessed Virgin Mary. Lucifer hates the saints. Lucifer hates all these because God is love, and he has transferred his love into his saints. He's transferred his love into his church, and souls love the church, and they love the saints, and they love Christ. And the devil wants that love, and he will never get it. Therefore, he is jealous and angry and filled with hatred and envy, and that is why he wants to destroy the kingdom of Satan. The spirit of jealousy and envy. But what about Christ? St. John says, he that loveth not abideth in death. He that loveth not abideth in death. The only way to abide in life is to love. We must love our faith, and we must love the brethren. There must be love inside of our hearts. And how do you test love? Whenever you test the intelligence, you say, okay, do you believe, how many commandments are there? Let's give a test. Well, there's 10 of them. Okay, very good. There's 10 commandments. What are they? Well, there's 3 commandments of God and 7 commandments of neighbor. Very good. First 2 tables of the law. How many virtues are there? Well, there's 7. Good. That tests the mind. I ask you a question, you give the answer, that tests the mind. How do you test the heart? You say nothing, you make no commands, and you make no suggestions. You take the heart and you put it out in the wilderness, and you just leave it there. And then people pass by, and they pass by, and they pass by. If the heart is dead, it remains there. If the heart has love, when the heart sees the things pass by, it is likened to the Samaritan. Remember the Samaritan. He was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, just like the man before him was. But on his way, he discovered that there was somebody on the side of the road who was wounded, and his heart made him stop his journey to Jericho, and his heart made him go over to the side and pick up that man, put him on his own donkey, and bring him back to the inn. And then he had handed him over to the end. How many orders did he receive? How many instructions? The total is 0.0. None. The Good Samaritan was not told what to do. In fact, he was given an instruction. I want you to go to Jericho, and I want you to be there by tomorrow morning in order to deliver such and such a thing. And so he went from Jerusalem to Jericho on his delivery. As he was on his way, he saw something. As he was on his way, he realized there's someone dying, and this someone dying is more important than my present mission. Therefore, he stopped his present mission. What made him do that? His heart. That's what Lord Jesus Christ says, who follows me must be a good Samaritan. Many people will die and go to hell and say, I was never disobedient. Remember that the examples in sacred scripture, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he saying? You are going, depart from me, ye cursed. I'm not cursed. I went to Mass every Sunday. I'm not cursed. I follow the Ten Commandments. I'm not cursed. I obeyed all the rules. I'm not cursed. I went to confession. I'm not cursed. I said my rosary. What do you mean cursed? Depart from me, ye cursed, lions of fire. Why? Because when I was hungry, you did not feed me. When I was thirsty, you did not give me drink, and so on. What does this mean? Mandatum novum. Remember Jesus Christ, to make it clear, it's a commandment. And St. Camillus of Lilies is one of the great examples of this commandment, but it's a commandment. It's not a request. And we are the friends of Christ when we follow this commandment, and we are not the friends of Christ when we do not. It's very, very simple. And so what are we going to do? Right now, for instance, in the present crisis, the crisis is asking, who loves his neighbor? Who is ready to take care of the neighbor? Right now, no one. Who loves God? Who loves God must love what God created. Who loves God must love in the way that God loves. Who loves God must imitate his love. And he made it very clear so that there be no confusion. I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Now remember, our Lord Jesus Christ says these words on Holy Thursday night. He has 12 men around him. One of them has 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. One of them is being sacrilegiously received in Holy Communion. One of them is sacrilegiously being ordained a priest and consecrated a bishop. The other 11 are also being consecrated bishops and receiving Holy Communion, though it's worthy. And all 12 of them that night are going to abandon him. One already abandoned him, and he's going to be even worse. And the other 11 are going to run away as cowards. Does this stop Christ from ordaining his priests? Does it stop him from giving them Holy Communion? Does it stop him from going to the Garden of Gethsemane where he knows he's going to be captured? And he does go there, and he sweats blood. And he goes to the battlefield because he loves his own. And St. John says, he loved his own, and he loved them unto the end. And this is the test he gives to us. Who loves and loves unto the end? For he who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall not enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. And what is the will of the Father? To send his only begotten Son to earth? To die. So if we are going to follow Christ, we must also go to die. We do have to condemn all the errors and heresies of Vatican II. We have to condemn all the errors and heresies of all the world. We do have to do that. But that's not enough. We have to have fire in our bellies. And there's a test. What's in your belly? Look at the lives of the saints. Did someone tell St. John Bosco, I want you to found a boys' school? Does someone appear to Teresa and say, Teresa, I want you to be Carmelite? Does someone tell the great Teresa and say, Teresa, I want you to reform the Carmelites? Does someone come to Anthony and say, Anthony, I want you to preach my holy words? No. It came out from their hearts. They were driven by a force that made them do these things. St. John Bosco wanted to take care of young boys and bring them to Christ. St. Teresa said, I want to be a Carmelite. When? Now. Well, you're only 15. I don't care. I want to be a Carmelite now. Can't you wait a year? No, I can't wait a year. You have to go and talk to the Pope. Well, then let's get on a train. I'm going to talk to the Pope right now. Nothing held her back. Christ wants to see, do you have something in your heart? Does your heart drive you? And the heart must drive us. The trouble we have today now is that many souls understand truth, at least some of it, but it never drives their hearts. We must ask the grace that the truth drive our hearts. St. Camillus de Lourdes was driven to take care of the worst, of the sickest, of the most foul diseases. He could not stay away from them. And tomorrow is the feast of St. Vincent de Paul. St. Vincent de Paul, when he was dying and he couldn't walk, the nurses stepped away from his bed for 2 seconds and he crawled out of his bed. It's an old man. And he crawled to the streets and they couldn't find him. And they found him in the streets in his hospital gown visiting the poor. And they said, what are you doing? I must see Christ, he said. I must visit Christ. I can't go without visiting Christ just because I'm dying. And they had to bring him back to his hospital bed. He was being paralyzed. He couldn't walk, but he still found a way to visit the poor. He says, that's how I see Christ. St. Vincent de Paul, the great love of the poor. St. Camillus de Lourdes, the great love of the sick. There must be a great love inside of us. And all it is a participation in a small aspect of the love that is in the Sacred Heart. And we must have that love. Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, when he founded the Society of St. Pius X, he had the love of souls, to bring souls Christ and bring Christ to souls. And he answered the call everywhere in the world. He went to the ends of the earth in order to bring Christ to souls and souls to Christ. In an age in which Christ is being taken away from us by our own bishops, taken away from us by our own pope, taken away from us by our own priests, he wanted to save them. He was driven. And the trouble today is no one is driven except by the, you take my wallet, I'm driven to get it back. You touch my car, I'm driven to get vengeance. But what about my soul? What about the truth? What about the love of God? What about the love of truth? The love of His Holy Church? Who is driven by that love? And we must ask the grace of our Lord that He send souls driven by that holy love. And that love may be the love that guides us to follow the example of St. Camillus Illus and tomorrow of St. Vincent de Paul in that great journey of charity. Close that, God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.